your source for everything paranormal. Para-X. Views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
All those things you've been wondering about? Are you ready to go deeper into the realms of the unknown? I hope you've got your walking shoes on, because life is an adventure, and this is the journey. Come on, let's go. Welcome to the show, everyone. It's Wednesday night, and this is the Journey Radio Show, and we're going to be talking about the possible connection between Lizard Man and Bigfoot. So, of course, I've got my fellow She Squatcher on the line, Jenna Grover. Hey, Jenna, are you there?
I am here, and I'm excited to be here tonight. Hey, everybody.
Yeah. So, our super special guest tonight is Dr. John Stamey, and he is coming to us to tell us all about this possible connection between Lizard Man and Bigfoot. And let me just tell you, he's organizing this Lizard Man Festival coming up very soon. You should go check it out at lizardmanfestival.com. But in the meantime, let's welcome Dr. John Stamey onto the line. Hey, John, are you there?
I am here, and thank you so very much for having me.
Awesome. I'm so glad you're here. I got your message. You said that you had some new information about Lizard Man to share, and I can't wait to hear about it.
Well, thanks a lot. I will get to that as we're proceeding on. I've got the right moment just to mention all that.
Okay.
So we'll get to it in a little bit. But if it's okay, I had an adventure today. Can I tell you about it?
Please do.
All right, I was at historic Camden. That is one of the great Revolutionary War battlefields in the United States, and it's about 2.5 hours from Myrtle Beach, where I live. They have the distinction that two great battles were fought there, the Battle of Camden and the Battle of Hobkirk Hill. Needless to say, that 400-acre plot is about as haunted as it gets, and they're the first to admit it. So we're all sitting around talking about a variety of things. I was just getting started talking a little bit about Comic-Cons and the Lizard Man Festival. And all of a sudden, there were four people in front of me, and I was there, so we were all in a little circle there talking. And all of a sudden, three pieces of change, it was two pennies and a dime, dropped from behind me from somewhere, bounced and rolled around all over the floor. Now, I looked around. There was nothing there but my briefcase. And I looked at everybody. I said, "What is that?" And one of the ladies said, "Oh, that's Jim Johnson." I said, "Excuse me?" She said, "Oh, that's Jim Johnson. He likes to greet new people when they come into the office." I said, "You're talking about a ghost, right?" She said, "Yeah." She said, "If he didn't, then we would think that something was wrong with you."
So, I guess
I passed the ghostly test this afternoon. But really and truly, I was just sitting there, and I heard three coins fall behind me onto the desk, and they rolled onto the floor. So it was a marvelous way to start my afternoon.
Very, very cool. I love it when things happen like that. That's so fun.
You know, I really do too. It's always nice when I've had Edgar Casey pat me on the shoulder once, I believe. One never knows, but I was up at the Association for Research and Enlightenment in Virginia Beach, and I was just standing there, and I felt a hand on my shoulder. And my friend Bob, who was the IT guy there, I said, "Who would have put their hand on my shoulder?" He said, "Edgar's all over this building, and he's just telling you hello." So that was good. So
wow.
Oh yeah. Kind of a fun life.
Mm-hmm.
It really is.
It's always interesting, isn't it? When you're open.
It is.
when you're open. It's interesting because you get to hear a lot more really cool stuff that other people just don't usually talk about.
Or feel it or see it happen. That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So, John, can you tell us a little bit about your Lizard Man Festival that's coming up?
I would love to. This all got started at the end of Bigfoot Day in Kingsport, Tennessee, driving down Highway 21 to Interstate 20 back to Myrtle Beach, and I saw the Bishopville sign and said, oh, we've got to have a Lizard Man Festival. Lizard Man has the distinction of being one of the two cryptids that I'm aware of that's really associated with the town. That being Bishopville, South Carolina, the other one being the Mothman up at Point Pleasant, West Virginia. And when I went and spoke with the Chamber of Commerce, I said, I'd like for you to help promote this. And they said, you know, we'd love to have a Lizard Man Festival. So tell us some of the things that you'd like to do. And here's the list, and we've kind of made it happen. First of all, on Friday afternoon, we've got Lyle Blackburn, who will be in the house. All the events are taking place at the South Carolina Cotton Museum, right there in the middle of town. Wonderful folks there, and they've been so very helpful. We'll have Lyle Blackburn, author of a number of books, including Lizard Man, The True Story of the Bishopville Monster. He's also the author of several Boggy Creek books. He's also the author of a Mothman book. So Lyle's, and he's a great guy. He's on the Discovery Channel really frequently, and just we're so glad to have him. He brings some real authority to our event, and someone that has done a lot of research, and so we're glad to have him. We will also have in the house Papa Stro, the Maestro of Wrestling, on Friday afternoon, along with Greg Bo Watson, a wonderful artist from the upstate of South Carolina who's done work for Marvel, DC, and 20th Century Fox Television. In fact, he did the artwork for those marvelous X-Files commercials, which were on television about a year and a half ago. So that's Friday afternoon from 2 to 5:30. We'll have wine and cheese, Cokes, and you can talk to Lyle, Papa Stro, Greg Bo, myself, and Matt Delf will be there, who's the head of Mountain Empire Cryptid Research Organization. You can talk to him about Bigfoot. So, yeah, we'll have a good time that afternoon. On Saturday, we have the Lizard Man Festival and the Lizard Man Comic-Con, all taking place at the South Carolina Cotton Museum. We'll have talks running all day long. Lyle will deliver a talk about his research into Lizard Man. I'm going to deliver a talk about new research that I've done since we've been contemplating putting on the Lizard Man Festival. We're going to have Matt Delf talking. We'll have a panel discussion. We will also have the South Carolina Paranormal Research Group. They'll be talking about some of the wonderful things that they've done. About South Carolina Paranormal Research, we'll be talking at 12:30. Then at 1:30, they'll be taking a group out, leading a group down to Skateboard Swamp, where Lizard Man has been seen, and people can follow them there, and it'll be a lot of fun. Lyle Blackburn will be delivering his talk right around 3 o'clock at the Cotton Museum, and then at 4 o'clock, he'll be leading the group down there to Skateboard Swamp. So I think we're going to have just a great time. On Sunday, if anyone's around, we'll be doing another tour of Skateboard Swamp. Everyone can just meet in front of the South Carolina Cotton Museum. So I think and do not forget, Saturday night, starting at 6 p.m., the Lizard Man Music Festival. This will be held at the Button King Museum, Button King Museum being really a unique experience. Mr. Stevens collected over 1 million buttons, and he covered a hearse, a casket, guitars, violins, a commode, and lots of other things, and it's right there in the Button King Museum. Next door to the Button King Museum is a small auditorium where they have country music and gospel every Friday night, and on Saturday night, we're going to have none other than the Kilted Creature himself, R.J. Grady, to play. He comes dressed as the creature from the Black Lagoon, a.k.a. a lizard, along with a kilt, so you can't beat that. We're also going to have several other musicians. We're going to have Antler Hill there playing. So it's just going to be a blast. A lot of entertainment. It's a small town festival about one of the great cryptids in our world. So thanks for asking about it, and it'll be fun. And Papa Stroh, I think he's in the chat room. He'll be there. Matt Delph, I hope, is in the chat room. He will be there. And so that's what we've got going.
They are both in the chat room. They are both there. So. Yes, yes.
Good. I can talk about them, and they can't talk back to me. Yay.
That's right. That's right.
So, you know how to do it.
So give us the dirt on them so they can't talk back. No, I'm kidding. They're all good.
I'll give you the dirt. I've known Papa Stroh for about 3.5 years, and you talk about one sharp guy, and you talk about a great wrestler and a great personality. That's about him. Matt is a super investigator. He's a real mountain guy. He's a real outdoors guy. He knows how to track creatures, and he is so fortunate that I have his phone number, and I call him all the time about potential Bigfoot and Lizard Man sightings. So that's the scoop on those two guys. They're great friends, and just glad to have them on board for the Lizard Man Festival.
Awesome. Awesome. I'm excited. I think they're going to be at the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference also, aren't they?
Ooh, yeah. We're working on some surprises for that. So we'll hopefully be talking with you. Well, I know that the She Squatchers are scheduled to be there at the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference. That is October 19th, 20th, and 21st, Bays Mountain Park, at the very top of Bays Mountain in Kingsport, Tennessee. It's going to be a blast. And yeah, Pop Stroh will be there. Micro will be there, Mountain Empire Cryptid, and that includes Matthew Delph. Zach Sterrett will be there, and I think Jen, he was on the show last week. Nice guy, young guy. He's excited about doing some investigations. We wanted to include him there. We will have members of Tennessee MUFON. Angelia, who's the president of Tennessee MUFON, will be there talking about a combined Bigfoot UFO experience. And then John Dixon, my good friend from Eastern Tennessee, who's a MUFON investigator, will be there talking about some things. So it's just going to be more fun via Lizard Man. So, and we look forward to having the She Squatchers there to give us some stories and all that good stuff. I'll, of course, give the Lizard Man News Network update when I get there as well.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, there's so much going on. It's too much to contain. How do you keep it all straight with all the reports you've been getting about Lizard Man and everything else going out on out there in Bishopville?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I've been a researcher. I was a college professor and researcher for 15 years. And I really do, I believe that if you're a researcher, you got to do it every day. You got to talk to people. And I was talking to my friend Jen Krause, you know that lady.
And, Jen Cruz, you mean?
Cruz, I'm sorry, I can't pronounce anything. I'm from the deep old South. But,
well,
you know, Jen,
Some people do pronounce it Krause. If you look it up in the phone book, it says C also Krause. So you're not exactly wrong.
I'm not exactly right. I like to get people's names correct. But anyway, you know, you and I were talking about the law of attraction.
Yes.
And I sometimes sneered at it a little bit. But it seems that, like, whenever I talk to you about some of these great concepts in personal development and the paranormal, you really clarify them for me, and they work. Ever since I've been on this Lizard Man thing, I've had people call me, contact me, tell me stories, and these stories are now, I'm now being able to stitch them together. And that's what's so cool. Somebody will call me, they'll tell me something. I'll be mentioning to someone in Bishopville that, oh, you know, I'm working on the Lizard Man Festival. And like what happened 2 weeks ago, a fellow said, there's an older lady that told me a lot of stories before she passed away in 1990 about Lizard Man. And I said, oh my goodness, we need to talk. And I spoke with that gentleman today, and that's part of my news announcement that we'll hit after the bottom of the hour. But the fact is, it seems as though people are contacting me now about Lizard Man stories. And as I start putting them together, maybe we're going to have a new understanding of what this cryptid really is. I'll say this. Jen, can I please jump on my soapbox for just a minute?
It's all yours, John. Go for it.
Thank you. Here's what I see. I see that whenever Fox News can, they will ignore anything good that Hillary Clinton does. CNN News will, of course, ignore anything good that Donald Trump does. And I think the press, I'm going to blame the press and say something, you know, a little stern to them. They need to get on the ball. There are things that are happening around us that need to be reported. I was so pleased yesterday, front page of Fox News, finally. There was a story about a little girl who sees a ghost every night in her house and had these amazingly frightening stories about that ghost. She's 3 years old. The Huffington Post, front page story about UFOs. I'll give the press some credit. UFOs and ghosts are starting to make the headlines. They really are. But they've got to get on board with Bigfoot, Mothman, and Lizard Man, and all these cryptids, because, first of all, we've only explored 90%, 10% of the ocean. 90% is unexplored. And when you look at all that wilderness out there, my goodness, it's impossible to say we've explored it all. We've seen every species out there. So I wish they would get on board. They're really good at ignoring people, the press is. They're really good at emphasizing the bad. I think they need to check out what some of us are doing, because I think it's ultimately going to be important one day, especially, you know, in 100 years when people say, oh, yeah, Bigfoot, yeah, that thing that's out there in the woods, and we know all about it now. So I'd like to encourage the press to really get going on this exploration of cryptids like a lot of us are doing. So I guess that's, you can say that that's my soapbox moment for tonight. And I guess finally I'll close that one with this. We talk about the scientific method, you know, and I learned a lot about scientific method at North Carolina State University. I developed or has started putting together a scientific method for examining cryptid sightings. If you go to my website, bishopville.org, you can see that in the latest column, there's like a list of 11 things you need to do. So what I'm trying to do, along with, if you remember, Jay Allen Hynek, the great UFO researcher who was also head of the Smithsonian Observatory. He was big on the scientific method to explore UFO sightings. And I'm trying to work, and I've talked with Lyle Blackburn. He likes the list. We're going to try to present a lizard man sighting, a potential sighting from about a year ago in West Columbia. We're going to go through all the steps. Paul from the South Carolina Cryptid Research Association, he's helping me gather all this information. And we're going to review it there in one of the talks and say, listen, this is how you investigate a cryptid sighting. We're going to try to standardize it. We're going to try to collect all the data so that no one can say that we're being slack, that we're, you know, that we're not doing a good job in investigating. We're going to try to be scientists, just like Jay Allen Hynek, who was the head of the Smithsonian Observatory, did when he wrote so many articles about UFOs. So that's one thing that I'm trying to do. I'm trying to bring that to, you know, my little contribution here. But I hope it'll be worth it, and I hope it will help people start believing more, and the press will say, wow, well, we got these facts. Maybe there's something there. So there's the end of the soapbox portion of this show.
All right. I'll definitely be visiting. You said that's bishopville.org?
Yes, it is. And just go there, and it's either the most current article or the previous or the next to most current article. And there's a list of things that you need to find. You know, it talks about data. It talks about photos and everything. So, I'm very thankful. In fact, I had him as a guest a couple weeks ago, Paul from South Carolina Paranormal Research and Investigations, who's helping me gather all that. He lives in Columbia, South Carolina. And it's easy for him to go over to the site. So I want to thank him. Big shout out to him and his group. And we'll see them at the Lizard Man.
Wonderful. So the chat room is just on fire tonight. So before I forget one of the questions in there, Maria from thebigfootportal.com, one of my favorite websites, by the way, she is asking, is Lizard Man a reptilian?
When you say reptilian, are you talking, I guess there are two interpretations. One is a reptilian that is similar to a human, or a reptile. I guess the jury's out on that. I can give a little bit of perspective and background. First of all, paleontologists from North Carolina State University, go Wolfpack, where I got my doctorate, they discovered remains and bones of something that we call the Carolina butcher. It is 9 feet tall. It is a relative of the crocodile, and it stands on two legs. It was around about 65 million years ago. And again, I say just because it was around 65 million years ago doesn't mean there aren't a few of them left around here now. So that is one very important way to look at lizard man. The other way to look at lizard man is that it might be a dinosaurus. And what is a dinosaurus? Well, the head of the Canadian National Museum, and his name is Dale Russell, wrote a paper about 30 years ago about the dinosaurus. What that is one of the relatives of the Velociraptor. You know, the Velociraptor was one of the meanest small dinosaurs. It flew. It could just tear you up. It had a relative, which was much smaller. This relative's brain had larger eyes that had binocular focus like ours, an overlapping stereoscopic vision. And the brain mass ratio to its body was 6 times that of any other reptile. And this gentleman wrote a paper in the early 80s where he described the potential development of a bipedal or a two-legged human-like reptilian creature. He has some bone fragments and evidence that that may have occurred, that it walked upright on 2 feet. Now, of course, some paleontologists said, no, that's not the case. But he certainly makes a good argument. I got a copy of the paper. I read it 3 or 4 days ago, and it seemed to make sense to me. No one's really followed up on it. So in terms of a reptilian, that would be the reptilian model that, again, has been proposed by a good solid PhD from Canada. So, yes, lizard man might be the reptilian. It might have survived, morphed, grown, and whatever, or it might actually be a surviving Carolina butcher. I don't know the exact Latin name for the Carolina butcher, but it makes the crocodile look like Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. So that would be my answer to Maria. Those are two alternatives. And I think we have to speak. I think we have to speak in alternatives right now until we actually grab a lizard man. So those are my two thoughts on that.
Interesting. And another person in the chat room names It's Strange wants to know if lizard man is a shapeshifter.
All right, if lizard man is a shapeshifter, that puts lizard man into an entirely different dimension, which it might be. I know that you and I have had some discussions that Bigfoot might be a real corporeal entity, or Bigfoot might be an interdimensional entity. If Bigfoot's interdimensional, then why not be a shapeshifter? If you can pop in and out of dimensions, then you might very well be a shapeshifter. So the same thing goes for lizard man. Now this brings me. I've got a little thing I'd like to talk about.
Okay.
When it comes to is it a shapeshifter, which would mean it would probably be an interdimensional being. I've mentioned this to you a couple of times. I mentioned it to Matt. I said, you know, if there is a lizard man, that lizard man had to come from a population of lizard people, okay? Because one lizard man can't live forever. And the whole whole concept is something called minimum viable population. In other words, how big would a population be that we would actually have lizard men or Bigfoot around? Well, some research has been done, and I'm looking at that actual model. I'm going to try to make some changes in it to really see what it might be for Lizardman and for Bigfoot. But what I can tell you is for a vertebrate, as opposed to an invertebrate, something, but it's something that has a backbone. Studies have been done to show that it would take a population of around 750 entities for a species to survive for 100 years. Like, there's a 96% chance that if you have about 750, they would survive for 100 years. That's all well and good. I mean, and that's fine when you're talking about a group of animals out in the woods. But if you think about it, we have very sporadic sightings of lizard man, very sporadic sightings when we do a Bigfoot. So where would a group of 750 lizard men or lizard people, you'd probably find them pretty quickly, wouldn't you?
Yes, I think so.
I can guarantee you if there were 750 Bigfoot in an area, you'd see them. Something's going to give. So as crazy as this sounds, the very scientific notion of a minimal viable population to keep a species alive might indicate, if there are only four, five, or six that we've ever really seen, they might be interdimensional. And if so, they might be shapeshifters. We don't know. Again, now, I'm not hedging. I'm just saying that based on scientific evidence, it kind of points you into a direction. I don't think there's 700 lizard men out there in Scape or Swamp. I really don't. There might be 20. There might be 8 or 3 or 2. So since we don't have such a large population that we can find, that might indicate that they kind of float in and out. If any scientists have any better ideas based on the minimum viable population, let me know. I'd be glad to talk with you.
Now, in one of our many conversations, Dr. John, you talked about the different weather changes and how there was one particular year in history that there was a significant weather change and there was a lot of sightings of lizard men that year. So you had made a connection to that possibility that perhaps the weather change had pushed lizard men closer to human populations.
Okay, well, you just asked me the question that will lead into our bombshell announcement, okay?
Oh, okay.
It's a great question. I spoke with a gentleman in downtown Bishopville. He has a shop called the Swamp Log. He pulls logs and large tree trunks out of the swamp and creates the most beautiful furniture you've ever seen. His name is Alex, and he's a hunter. And he's a real guru when it comes to weather and hunting and being in the swamp. And he told me, we were discussing the weather during 1988 and 87 when lizard man started appearing. He said, John, that was a huge, huge drought. And we had some of the hottest temperatures anyone could remember. And here's what that did. That meant since we didn't have a lot of rain, when it rains in the coastal areas, it fills the lakes and the rivers, and it pushes that water, the fresh water, out toward the sea, meaning the rivers and the swamps are less salty. When there's not very much rain, the salt water pushes inland. Okay?
Okay.
And in 88 was the year of, I think, almost 20 lizard man sightings in the Bishopville area. Now, I'm going to take a little aside here. And yes, whenever I talk to folks over in the Camden, Sumter, Bishopville area, they say, I know who the lizard man was. Sure, there are a couple fakes. There are a couple people that wanted to go out and scare people. I am the first person to admit that. But there are so, so many people that have lizard man sightings, no one person could have done them. So I guess where that gets me, though, is 1988 was a year of a hot temperature and a lot and drought. So that was the year we had a lot of lizard man sightings. Now, if you...
Okay. We have to go to our half-show commercial break. Can we hang on to the bombshell news?
Okay, I'll continue explaining when you tell me to come back.
When we come back. All right, stay tuned, everybody. We'll be right back with Dr. John Stamey.
You are listening to Para X.
I'm Jenna Valadez with The Basement Files. Tune in Friday nights, 6 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Para-X Radio Network.
Be careful. The Unispar.
My name is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. I am the producer and host of Paranormal Encounters podcast series. I am a published author, academic, former legal investigator, and paranormal enthusiast who holds 4 advanced degrees with an interest in parapsychology and life after death issues. I have written about and encountered nearly 100 situations involving the paranormal, with my most frightening experience being a floor-length mirror cycling around in front of me in a haunted room I had stayed in. I invite you to tune in Thursday evenings at 11 o'clock p.m. to 12 midnight Eastern Standard Time right here on the Para-X Radio Network.
In order for the light to shine so brightly, the darkness must be present. Tune in every Monday at 10 o'clock for Dark Sun Rising on the Para-X Radio Network.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. I'm Jen Cruz, your host tonight, and this is the Journey Radio Show. When we are not live on the air like we are right now, you can find us online at thejourneyradioshow.com or check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/thejourneyonradio. And hey, we're talking about Bigfoot and Lizard Man tonight. So, of course, we're coming on as the She Squatchers. Check us out online at shesquatchers.com or on Facebook at facebook.com/shesquatchersofficial. Make sure to give us a like on our page and check out our we're doing a fundraiser, a t-shirt fundraiser with our official Girls Gone Squatch design on the back. So go check those out. They're only available for a limited time. I can't remember how many days are left, but it's not that many. So if you want to get one of those, we love it when we show up somewhere and somebody is wearing some of our gear. I automatically hug those people. I don't care if I don't know you. I'm going to come up and give you a hug because that's wearing our gear with our name on it. I love it.
I agree. So I'll hug you too if you have our stuff on.
There you go. So go check it out. You can find it on our website at shesquatchers.com and just click on the blog and you can read all about it there and see pictures of the different designs. We've got green and white for men and pink and green for women. So it's pretty cool stuff. And we're offering hoodies and tank tops and t-shirts, things that we can't offer in person. Some of these things are only available during this fundraiser. So, and we won't be carrying them again. So get in on it while you can. So we're back to the show. We're with Dr. John Stamey. We're talking about this possible connection between Lizard Man and Bigfoot. And we're exploring some of the weather options now with Dr. John. So pick up where you left off, Dr. John. We can't wait to hear more.
Will do. As we were talking, in the late 80s, periods of drought and very hot weather. Other periods of extreme weather, the early 60s were very cold. The mid-30s were very, very hot and dry. That's when the Dust Bowl, all that started, you know, and we lost so many of our crops in the Midwest in the 30s and the early 40s. And then we go back to the area around 1910. So I spoke with a gentleman. All this will be detailed in Volume 2 of Lizard Man, Bigfoot, and Friends. But I spoke to a gentleman, and he had told me that an older lady had some stories, and he wanted to fill me in. So I sat down with him today, and he said, you know, we were all sitting around Sunday lunch table. It was, you know, 1988-89 with all the lizard men. We were laughing. And my grandmother looked at me and said, well, they've got this lizard man today, but they just don't know about the lizard people of Lee County. And he said, when are you talking about? She said, about 1910. Now, that is all that I got. But that tells me more lizard man sightings back at the turn of the last century during hot, hot weather. Lyle Blackburn told me that, and he did not write down who told it to him, that lizard people migrated from the coast up to the Scapoor Swamp, Bishopville, Midlands area of South Carolina. But they never did say when it happened. So what's really neat is I love going to Charleston. And what's always mystified me for a long time is the wall at the Battery. Because that wall was built down, it was built a long, long time ago. It was built like in the mid-1700s, and then it was rehabbed in the mid-1800s. So I asked one of the tour guides, and they said, well, in the early 1700s, for some reason, the water drained out. This is ocean water. The water drained out, and you could walk almost all the way out to Fort Sumter. You could hardly have to swim to get out there. You know, it's an island out there in basically what I'd call the harbor area of Charleston. So that told me, and I remembered that it must have been very hot. There must have been something that caused the ocean level to drop about 8 or 9 feet. So if you think about it, that's a similar situation to the 1988. It's hot. It's very, very hot. Water's in short supply. So if that's the case, then seawater must be pushing up. And if there was a colony of lizard people, then that might have been the time that they migrated from the swamps of Georgetown County, Charleston County, Berkeley County. They might have migrated inland to the Midlands, which would be, you know, near Bishopville and Camden and Sumter. It was actually all Sumter County before Lee County was created out of Sumter. So that gives us a potential time frame for a migration. Now, I'm going to do some research. I've got to go talk to some historians at the University of South Carolina because they've done a lot of research, historical research in that area. And this is basically a later in the summer project. But I want to talk to some of the historians and see if we can track down articles or diaries or whatever from the 1910 era that would ever mention the words the lizard people. So that's kind of the small bombshell, is that potentially during periods of severe drought, that might have been when, as Lyle said, someone said it's an Indian story that they migrated from the coast. Well, they didn't migrate from Myrtle Beach, but they may have migrated from the swamps of Horry County and the swamps of Georgetown County. So this is, I guess, how a cultural anthropologist would work and try to put together a story based on the facts that they can get. So that's kind of an outline of where we're going with this. But I think it almost lends credence that there might have been a migration that started as early as, say, I think 1730s when the Battery Wall was built. So that's what I'm trying to look at in all my spare time. You know, Jen, all my spare time, because I have nothing to do, obviously. But you know, it's fun. And I think if you just do a little bit every day, thanks to the law of attraction, you know, stories will come to you, people will talk to you, and you'll be able to stitch this together along with climate information, along with historical data. And again, it's nothing fancy, but it's just good, solid, standard research. So we'll see what happens. But that's our mini bombshell for tonight, but that there might have been lizard man migration as early as 1730, and my goodness, if there was, then that means lizard man was here earlier than that, And then we have to start looking toward documents from India, from the Indian tribes, because that would be the only, you know, before 1730, those would be the only people that we could find out if they ever had any contact with a cryptid such as this. And as we know, in terms of cryptids, like there are over, you know, well over 50 names for Bigfoot in many Indian tribe languages. So that's an indication of Bigfoot. And so we'll have to see about Lizardman. So Lizardman might not be as far-fetched as people think. There might be some real evidence that there's something there.
Yeah, that sounds great. I love your historical approach and the weather connection. I love all that. Good work, Dr. John.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks. I mean, that's what we've got. We've got to work with what we have. We've got to work within the facts.
Very good.
I might scare a few members of the press and a few members of the scientific community. Let's work within the facts and see what we can deduce, what we can, you know, put two and two together and see if we can get forward.
Right. Amazing.
Well, in this field, we need more people like you, Dr. John, seriously.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks. So, I mean, I was very fortunate. I was trained at a really good, you know, my research background comes from North Carolina State, and they were adamant about doing things the right way. And it's fun to, you have to work extra hard to do things the right way, but it really pays off.
Mm-hmm. So I got to say that the chat room is alive with questions about the connection between lizard men and Bigfoot. So maybe you could touch on that.
Okay. Let me get that information. Let's see.
He's got his notes out, everybody.
Yeah, I got my notes. All right. Now, in terms of Bigfoot, you know, there are obviously two ways of looking at Bigfoot, and this will tie back into what I said about Lizardman. First of all, there's the real corporal, when I mean corporal, in-body Bigfoot. That's what we have from the Patterson-Gimlin footage. And that's obviously still the best footage. And I want to say that I've read so many articles about that footage, and a lot of people are distressed that they cannot prove it to be fake. That footage was done in the 60s before they had all this digital remastering, everything that we've got, you know, from Photoshop to Adobe Premiere and whatever. And so nobody can seem to prove it to be a forgery. And that's what upsets people, is it doesn't fit in the mold of what we've got. So there's the real Bigfoot, and then there is the spiritual Bigfoot. And there's a gentleman up in Washington State. He's a friend of mine. I've spoken with him several times. He's got some books out. His name is Kawani Lasparitis. And he talks about how Bigfoot comes to him and comes to a number of people spiritually, that Bigfoot has done healings for people. Now, there's the interdimensional Bigfoot. So we talked about the interdimensional lizard man. We've got the interdimensional Bigfoot. So they're two different, you know, two different cryptids. But number one, if we had a tribe of 700 Bigfoot, we could see them. We'd find them somewhere. So maybe we don't. And so maybe they are interdimensional. So that's the key right there. And there's another kind of like footnote to this whole thing. In Lyle Blackburn's book, he talks about all of the standard lizard man sightings, and more than 50% appear to be Bigfoot sightings. I don't know what's going on with that, but they talk about fur, brown, this and this and this. You know, maybe it's moss, or maybe it's, you know, whatever. But maybe it's fur, and maybe it's Bigfoot, or maybe it's Lizardman. So there's a very interesting mix there, and I want to talk about Lyle with that when we're doing our panels on Saturday at Bigfoot Day. So that would be, you know, the Bigfoot connection is that, first of all, there seemed to be Bigfoot sightings down there in Bishopville in the late 80s, along with Lizardman sightings. Very interesting. So we're going to talk about it and see if we can come up with some kind of a conclusion over what it might be. So I would say that that's probably the most important one. And, yeah, that's the most important one right there, is that there seem to be similar sightings, and there seem to be two different takes, the corporeal, the physical, or the spiritual, or interdimensional. So there's the real connection. I guess if everybody was listening in to find out the connection, there it is. And it really has to do with that idea of the population, you know, what we call the minimum viable population. It would take too many Bigfoot individuals. It would take too many lizard man individuals to create a sustainable population. So maybe they're both interdimensional.
Okay, so we live in Minnesota up here, and we do a lot of our Bigfoot research on the Indian reservations because there's plenty of them up here. And Bigfoot is really deep rooted into the cultural, into the native culture, you know, representing one of the seven sacred teachings of the grandfathers, which would be the Christian equivalent of representing one of the Ten Commandments. So, I mean, it's a pretty big deal. And we look a lot on Indian reservations because we find a lot on Indian reservations. Are there Indian reservations by Bishopville, or what tribes were there?
We were talking about that today at the South Carolina Cotton Museum. The only two tribes that I can find are the Catawba and the Wateree Indians. Now, it seems as though, and I asked point blank several people, I said, has anyone been up here to research this? I asked that at the South Carolina Cotton Museum, and I asked that at Historic Camden, the Revolutionary War site. And to both of those questions, I got a no. There's been very little research done on the Indian populations in that area of South Carolina. And the first thing I said was, I'm headed to the University of South Carolina this fall, see if we can't get some people up here, because this is fertile territory. We need to find out more about the Indians, because the Indians have a connection with cryptids. Right, Jen?
Right. Yes.
And we need to find out more about the Indian tribes. So that's one of the first things that I want to do. I'm not going to challenge them. I'm going to say, come on up. Let's have a conference. Let's do some research, and let's talk, and let's try to figure out what's going on. And then once we do, I would say early 2019, we'll be ready to come back, and I'll bring one of my PhD researcher buddies that was working with us, and we'll talk about them and how it might connect with the cryptid population of both Bigfoot and Lizardman.
There you go. Interesting. Well, I can't wait to hear what you find out from the native peoples, anything about Lizardman or Bigfoot connections in there. But I have seen the illustrations that were shared by Lyle Blackburn on his book, where he was making some references between Bigfoot and Lizardman. And I looked at those pictures, and I can see what he was talking about there. In those pictures, Lizardman does kind of look like Bigfoot.
A little bit.
There were some similarities. Yeah.
Yes, there were.
So, do you know anything about the picture that he had made for that? I mean, was that based on real sightings, or do you know?
There have been a number of now, I'm not exactly sure, because I've seen so many of the pictures that, characterizations by artists. I've seen a lot of them. I'm probably not exactly familiar with the one you're talking about that Lyle had done. So I'll ask him about that next time I talk to him.
Okay, that's great. We're going to have an answer eventually.
Yes, you will. I'll probably give you a call later this week, and I'll say, all right, Jen, here's what I found out, and you can report to everybody.
That's right, everybody. Dr. John has my private phone number, and he does call me with all these really cool things that he finds out, so we will for sure know the answer about this later.
Exactly.
So, yeah, that's awesome. I've gotten confused about the whole all the things that you wanted to share tonight. Did we touch on everything, or is there more that you haven't shared yet?
Well, we touched on most everything that I wanted to talk about. Especially, it was important to me to correlate the weather and how that affects the number of sightings of lizard man. And I think that's important. And so what I'm doing is I'm putting together a list of droughts and heat waves and seeing, you know, once I do that, then I'm going to be able to take a look at potential sightings that, you know, I've got one from the early 1900s. I want to see if there were any sightings in the 1930s. Those were legendary hot times. And also, I did when I was doing some research about other potential sightings of a lizard man type character, I found that there were a number of them in the Arizona and New Mexico and Nevada area, which I thought was very interesting. They were in caves. So, you know, the damp caves. And I've always said, you know, right, wrong, left, right, up or down, that Bigfoot must reside in caves, because you just don't see them, you know, a lot during the day, and you'll see them, and people will have experiences at night. I know Todd Saxon, who's a good friend of ours, one of the members of Comic-Con Stars, you know, he has a story in the book Lizard Men, Bigfoot, and Friends, and that was at night. And I think, you know, if you about the only thing that we can conclude is that Bigfoot lives in caves. And wherever we see Bigfoot sightings, it seems as though there are cave systems. Now, except when I spoke with you about Minnesota, you said there really weren't any caves to speak of, but there were other potential, you know, there were forests and things like that. But then
in
again,
in the areas where we're looking, yeah, there might be caves in other parts of Minnesota, but in the areas where we're looking, there really isn't, unless it's digging down underground.
Exactly. However, when you these sightings that I found in New Mexico and Arizona and Nevada, there were cave systems. There were damp cave systems where there had been some lizard people sightings. So I think that's kind of interesting. I want to go through that information more and talk to the author of that article and see what we can find and try to piece it all together. Because the more you look at Lizard Man, it's not just some dude from 1988 scaring somebody and selling a couple T-shirts. There's something out there. And I'll tell you one thing. I am not going to want to stay out in scape or swamp by myself at night. That would just be frightening. So
I agree.
There's something there. And I think if we approach it with care and approach it from a good historical standpoint and a scientific standpoint, we'll at least start noticing some similarities. So you've got damp caves over there. You've got swamps over here. Well, okay. You know, kind of similar locations. So,
Maria is asking if there is a database or a map of sightings of Lizard Man anywhere that she could look at.
Working on that right now.
All right.
We'd like to premiere that at Lizard Man Festival. I put together something called the Lizard Man Trail. There are 14 locations where Lizard Man has been seen. Now, a couple of them, I really can't, there's not enough description from Lyle's book, so I'm having to go to police records. I haven't had a chance to do that. But we're going to try to put that together. Now, and I will say that one of the most viral posts from last year was when we had the total eclipse. And it said, watch out for Lizard Man, Bigfoot, and other cryptids, because they may get confused on the total eclipse. And the more I look at it, that went to thousands upon thousands of people. It was a lot of fun, but it was really interesting. Department of Natural Resources in South Carolina, maybe somebody had a sense of humor, but it was interesting and fun that they did that. And that's why, and they had a couple of Lizard Man sightings on there. But I wanted to try to get all of the ones that Lyle had in his book. So we'll that'll be released later. How's that?
That sounds great, Dr. John. That sounds great. Mm-hmm. We have like 4 minutes left of the show, so I want to encourage everybody to go check out lizardmanfestival.com because that is coming up very, very soon. And I just got to say, the other day, you know, I'm always chatting with other Bigfoot hunters and Bigfooters, and somebody sent me the link to lizardmanfestival.com and was all excited about it. And I was like, yeah, are you going? So I thought that was great. And they didn't know who was organizing it. And I was like, yeah, that's actually a friend of mine, Dr. John Stamey. So, hey, that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So people are talking about it. They're getting excited.
That's right. If we have just a couple minutes, I have a quick diversion to Point Pleasant, West Virginia. A friend of mine, Kyle Peckham, was up there this past weekend in conjunction with going to the Indianapolis 500. He went to the Mothman Museum. He took photographs of all the newspaper articles that were associated with the Mothman. It was astonishing how many articles there were, how many personal accounts there were. And I think the longer we research Lizard Man, we're going to find more personal accounts and more newspaper stories. So, and they're kind of on a similar path. You know, we have a location, a cryptid, and stories are starting to come out now about Lizard Man. It kind of fallen by the wayside, but we want to bring him back to public prominence.
I'm sorry, you cut out at the end there. What did you say?
Oh, I'm sorry. I said, you know, with Lizard Man, as a lot more stories develop, kind of like Mothman did in the late 60s and through the 70s, as these stories start coming out, we want to record them like they did for Mothman and try to bring them out because there's so much history for Mothman, and hopefully there'll be a lot more history for Lizard Man as we start attacking this research problem.
That sounds fantastic. And I think maybe as more people hear about it being talked about, maybe they feel more comfortable coming out and sharing the stories that they maybe have been afraid to tell other people so far.
I agree. Totally.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I want to thank everybody for coming on the show tonight, especially Dr. John Stamey. Check him out at lizardmanfestival.com. And, hey, he's also heading up to TennesseeBigfootConference.com. And, you know, She Squatchers are going to be there.
so you should
check that out for sure. But when is the Lizard Man Festival?
Okay, Lizard Man Festival will be June 8, 9, and 10. But the primary day will be the 9th. And that will be when we'll have the Comic-Con, the festival, and the talks and the tours of Skateboard Swamp.
Ooh, that sounds great. That sounds great. Well, thank you, everybody, for tuning in. And thank you to Dr. John Stamey for coming on. Thank you, Jenna, my fellow She Squatcher, for coming on the line with us tonight. Thank you, Sarge, to our awesome producer and to our network, ParaX. Thank you, everyone in the chat room. It was awesome you could all join us. And I hope you'll tune in next week when we have Bill and Amy Lancaster from Bilko Productions talking about their Bigfoot documentary, Cultured Bigfoot, and their upcoming documentary that they're working on right now about paranormal Bigfoot. I can't wait to hear about that. So please tune in next week on the Journey Radio Show. Thank you, everyone. Good night.
Thanks.